Okay, so I guess the main logistical thing that I wanted to say is just as far as the program schedule, we kept it intentionally light. So the default here is not to give a talk. We're going to have some talks, but not very many. And that's just to give us time to, you know, collaborate, talk, and get some actual work done. So just as far as scheduling, we have this room, the auditorium, reserved Tuesday. Tuesday to Friday, 1:30 until 3 p.m. Okay. So we're going to have something like two or three talks per week. So this week we'll be having a talk, and they'll all be either, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So this week we're going to have talks on Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow there's actually a talk at Station Q, which overlaps with this time slot, which, you know, you're certainly encouraged to go to. And then, right, so that's Tuesday through Thursday, and then Fridays we're going to have a discussion section. So this is an opportunity for people who, you know, want to get together and talk about one specific topic. If we have, like, you know, three or four or some number of people interested in this particular topic, we can make a discussion section and just have a bunch of people talk at once. So one of the things we're going to do here is hopefully decide on a topic for the discussion section for Friday. Okay, other logistical things. Let's see, we covered talks. Discussion section is introduction. Right, so for the wiki, so I'm actually in charge of the wiki, so if you need anything posted on the wiki, email me. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, but can I promote people to edit the wiki? Can we?
Yeah.
Okay, so anybody who wants to edit, like if you take, you know, okay.
Everyone can edit.
Everyone can edit
the wiki, everything except the talk schedule.
Okay, fine.
Which you,
okay, good, perfect.
You include.
Okay,
you
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you have a really good set of notes, you know, if you take notes, good notes during talks, or if you have something that's relevant to be posted up, please go ahead and do that. See anything else about the wiki? Okay, and then finally, social organization. So we're going to have, I guess, weekly dinners on Thursdays. So I'll organize those, and I'm not sure what the best way to do that. I guess I'll just send out an email, and then we'll sort of organize via email.
That's also, you can use that wiki page. People sometimes put a sign-up list. Okay.
That's probably better than email.
Yeah, so you email and then they
okay.
Sign up.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. So that's on Thursdays. We can have dinner other times too. But, you know, that's the official. Okay. Good. Any other logistical questions before we get into the science? No. Okay. Right. So, I guess the idea for now is to. Just put down a list of topics that, you know, we might be interested in addressing, topics and sort of general questions that we want to address during this workshop. So I'm going to start by putting a few things down, or putting down a few categories and a few topics in each category, and then please chime in and put down some more. Right. So let me make a list of categories. So one general category is sort of, have we understood general symmetry protected topological short range entangled states phases? So I'll just call that symmetry topological. And actually, let me just make a list of a bunch of these before we get more in depth. So there's a lot of excitement about these symmetry protected topological phases, the SVT phases. So that sort of deserves its own category. There are also topological phenomena which are not encompassed within this general SVT category. So we should have another category sort of other topological phenomena. You know, for example, recently there's been a lot of interest in trying to find topological phenomena within non-equilibrium systems. So, you know, that'll be an example of something that would go here. Another big component will be, this general heading of numerical methods. And actually, we talked earlier, but so quantum information should also be an area. Should we combine these two, I think? Numerical methods, quantum information. Let me just... quantum information. And then finally, you know, out of the list of things that Cenk and I came up with, sort of connections to other areas of physics, and specifically sort of high energy theory, particle physics, even sort of abstract math. So this is sort of the more abstract stuff. Connections to high energy. Before we get into specific topics and questions within these categories, does anybody have another category to suggest?
How about seeing any of this or all of it in physical systems?
Right. Okay.
All of those.
What?
Yeah. So tentatively.
You will put them each of them.
Yeah.
It will be all of those. You will see that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Or can we group them, make another category?
So right. For now, let's just put that in each of these.
So with the scattery run, you said short range entangled, yeah. So that is sort of non-interacting stuff.
No, also interacting stuff.
Oh, okay.
As well. Yeah. So that includes non-interacting and interacting symmetry protected phases,
But you mean long range entangled is another topological phenomena?
Yeah. I mean, look, you categorize it. We have to break it up somehow. Yeah, so maybe I can put down a few things here. So. So for these symmetry-protected topological phases, there have been mathematical classifications, for close classifications, these fancy mathematical techniques, group cohomology, right from there. But one question you could ask is, is that complete? So are there things beyond the known classification? So for example, beyond group cohomology. I guess a better way to phrase this is just, are the known classifications complete, or is there something more? Similarly, for SPT phases made out of fundamental fermions, there's lots of non-interacting examples, the standard topological insulators and so on and so forth. But one very interesting question is, when you include interactions, are there any fermionic SPT phases which do not have a free fermion realization? So, inherently interacting or strongly interacting. Fermionic SPTs. Another interesting topic, is to look at these SPT phases with, for example, spatial symmetries, so like topological crystalline insulators. These classifications, the mathematical classification schemes for these phases tend to be well understood for the case of sort of very simple case of on-site, unitary, finite groups, which are not the kinds of typical symmetry groups that you find in physical systems. So sort of, more realistic symmetry groups, or general symmetry groups. Jeez. Okay. Of course, it was mentioned, you know, experimental realizations. I mean, these SPT phases, there's a whole category of interacting bosonic SPT phases that has been proposed. You know, are there any experimental prospects? So. Experimental realizations of interacting SPT phases. Okay, does anybody want to add anything to this list, sort of within the context of SPT phases? Or just more generally short range entangled phases? Or anywhere else on this? Senka, do you have any? Do we miss something? Oh, I guess bulk characterization of interacting SPT phases.
Yeah, right. That.
So you know, it's understood that you know, the hallmark of these SPT phases is they exhibit symmetry protected gapless modes on their boundaries, but is there a way to characterize them just by looking for bulk signatures?
Especially for SPT set involving spatial symmetry, the boundary will necessarily break down spatial symmetry. Then actually, the boundary may not be the ideal place to look for a topological signature of these states. Then we need a bulk signature.
That's right.
How do we do that?
Yeah. Also, you know, for on-site unitary symmetries, you can always gauge the symmetry, and that gives you a way of diagnosing the SPT order. But for even more general, like non-unitary symmetries, that's sort of absent. So, characterizing bulk characterization of the SPT order.
Just out of curiosity, how will you decide the classifications that compute?
Well, you can figure out when they're not. when they're not complete.
By example.
Yeah. By specific counterexample, which is sort of what's happened with this group cohomology classification. These beyond group cohomology states have been found.
Very egoistically, I just want to ask a question and hope that someone knows the answer. And that regards the question whether the integer quantum Hall effect is U1 symmetry protected or not. And I heard intelligent people saying completely contrary things for that question. So I was just wondering if someone is around here who actually...
Yeah, I think even without U1, it's has non-zero chiral central charge. I think, well, I don't know. Is that?
Yeah, I'm not an intelligent person, but
you just avoided all of us.
Yeah, I think Lucas is right. I mean, you don't need U1 symmetry. U1 symmetry is just we can't break U1 symmetry. Boundary stays still there. It's still stable because actually the boundary in mathematical terms the X state of the integer quantum Hall state not only have the U1 anomaly, also have the gravitational anomaly. So it means that breaking the U1 symmetry will not actually gap out of boundary states. But for the artificial four-dimensional integer quantum Hall state, then you need U1 symmetry, because actually it only has U1 anomaly but no gravitational anomaly. Once you break the U1 symmetry, the 4D quantum Hall state will just be gone.
Okay, let me actually put that down though, because I guess that sort of falls into the general heading of understanding short range entangled states. There's multiple different definitions there's two different definitions of short range entangled, what it means to be short range entangled in integer quantum Hall, or things with gravitational anomalies are sort of short-range entangled according to one definition and not short-range entangled according to another. That's I'll include that as part of understanding this SPT phase.
Just a question perhaps to ask about your statement. Maybe this is not the right case, but you're making a distinction between the classification in two and four dimensions.
Yes.
So but this then goes beyond the free Fermion classification? Because that should be the dead there at both times.
No, it's just free Fermion. You can see the difference just in the free Fermion. You can already see the difference. So for example, the boundary of the four-dimensional interquantum hole is a 3+1-dimensional wild Fermion. Mm-hmm. If you break the U1 symmetry, you can gap it out by turning off something called Marijuana match. It's a Cooper pair. You can gap out the 3+1-dimensional wild Fermion. But for the 1+1-dimensional wild Fermion, no matter what you turn, you cannot gap it out at all. Even if you break the U1 symmetry, you can turn on superconducting all the parameter. It doesn't matter. It's not going to gap it out at all.
Okay, but the classification of the free Fermion system is supposed to
No. But if you break the U1 symmetry, the classification will be different.
Even within free fermions.
Sorry.
Even within free fermions.
Yeah, even within free fermions, if you break U1 symmetry, even within free fermions, they are different.
Okay.
So it means that the U1 symmetry is important for 4D integer quantum hole, but it's not important for 2D integer.
Okay.
Therefore, strictly speaking, it's not SPT. Or what would you call it?
It's short range entangled. Or
but not. It's not protected by any.
It's not protected by symmetry. So this. The old kind of concept called like short-range entangled state, invertible state, SPT state. I think integer quantum hole state should be called short-range entangled state because it doesn't need any symmetry.
Are there other short-range entangled states that are not SPT?
Like the bosonic EA state is another example. In higher dimension, there are more examples. But in two dimension, we know integer quantum hole and also the EA state. It's a bosonic version of the integer quantum hole. Those are chiral modes, but actually, like chiral signal chart can only be a multiple of 8.
Okay. Okay. So as far as these other topological phenomena, I already mentioned one area that's been very interesting quite recently actually is topological phases or topological phenomena out of equilibrium. And in particular, relations to many-body localization. And flow-k systems, so driven systems. So, usually when we think of topological phenomena, we think of a gapped ground state, typically. And sort of, it's just the physics of the gapped ground state. But when you have something like many-body localization, it turns out that even finite energy density states kind of look like the ground state. They look like a ground state. They have area law entanglement, and it turns out that even these states sort of in the middle of the spectrum still can support interesting topological phenomena. So there's been quite a bit of work recently on sort of finding SPT phases in excited states of many-body localized systems, and sort of what are the similarities and differences to the equilibrium classification. Similarly, you can all do all this while not even conserving energy. So you can look at the flow-k systems, driven systems. Those can still be localized, at least after the flow-k unitary can have localized eigenstates, and you can see interesting topological phenomena there. And there, there's something very recently invented, time crystals. We'll have a talk about these during the conference. Anybody want to add to this? Not necessarily non-equilibrium stuff, but just in general.
Una mentioned the long-range entanglement.
Yeah, okay, good, right. Right, okay. So long-range entangled states.
Maybe like gapless states, and then states like...
Okay, yeah, good.
Wild.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, okay.
Oh yeah, wild for it.
Yeah. Wild semi metal. / gapless topological states, general gapless topological states. Okay. So as far as long-range entangled states, I mean, this is also sometimes called intrinsic topological order. You know, there's been a ton of work done on this, obviously. I guess one thing that's been exciting recently is combining long-range entanglement or intrinsic topological order with symmetries. So, you know, how do symmetries enrich the topological order classification of phases? So, you know, and actually Mason is going to give a talk about this on Wednesday. Symmetry enriched topological phases. So here, you know, there's some preliminary classification of symmetry enriched topological phases in 2D with some very simple, you know, on-site unitary finite symmetry groups involving some very heavy mathematical machinery. But obviously there's still a lot of open problems here, you know, generalizing to more realistic symmetry groups, non-unitary spatial. The generalization to fermions actually also is open. So that's quite an open field. Anything else in this sort of generic other topological phenomena category? So this, I mean, Senke and I talked, and this is sort of what we came up with, most of this. Okay. Now, numerical methods / quantum information. So
I guess maybe I'd say before we go on, you know, you can probably in many physical phenomena, the way you would detect it, and it was mentioning of sort of a connection to experiments, is maybe there's some conventional order that's broken, but then there's maybe underlying topological order. So maybe an interplay between sort of more conventional, you know, symmetry breaking and topological order. And at least one may worry about it as, you know, sort of conventional phenomena make kind of obscure or sort of.
I see. Okay. So relation between.
I don't know if there's anything non-trivial there, but.
Sort of conventional. Symmetry breaking. Phenomena in topological order.
And I guess I would also, I mean, along the line, maybe, you know, I find it really kind of amazing that, like, you know, you take Kitaevchi on one hand, it has topological order. Well, okay, not in this sense, but it has, you know, it's non-trivial in this fermionic representation, in Majorana fermion representation, but then, in, you know, on the other hand, it's just an Ising model, which just breaks global symmetry.
Right.
So are there other...
duality?
Yeah, dualities where, you know, something that looks non-trivial and topological-like, you know, can be connected to fairly... conventional global symmetry breaking.
Okay, so actually, you know, we were going to have this whole headline of dualities here.
Okay.
So maybe that'll sort of naturally fit in here. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go in here. You know, sort of what you mentioned. I guess we were also specifically thinking about these dualities between you know, like a Dirac fermion and a gauge Dirac fermion. Mm-hmm. Sort of the more recent sort of generalizations of particle vortex duality. I know this has been an active area recently with sort of high energy people getting into the game. Seiberg and Witten have some paper. I don't think we have anybody right now, but there'll be people later in this workshop who are experts in this. So, so as far as So as far as numerical methods, I'm not really an expert on numerical methods. Anybody? I guess Tuche, you guys are numerical people. You know, what we had was. I guess the main tool here is tensor networks. Well, one of the main tools. So what are the open problems within tensor networks?
whether the area law is proven.
Is proven? Oh, you mean
whether,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and whether tensor network can actually clarify all of these.
So I guess I'd say, like, yeah, so can you characterize all SPTs with tensor networks? Or can you, I guess, not characterize is not the right word, describe, yeah. It's via tensor networks. So in particular, chiral phases, I guess, have been problematic. Right?
Chiral gapped, I guess it is.
Chiral gapped phases.
Yeah. Yeah. The combination.
Right. Actually, what's the story on that? Does anybody know?
Sorry?
What's the story on that?
So I think, at least what I heard from Jerome Dubai was that they tried to find a chiral gapped phase, and they found a chiral phase, but then they proved that what they did can never be gapped.
Oh, you mean they found some, I see.
They wanted to.
But they found a parent Hamiltonian that was gapless?
Now you're asking me too much detail.
I vaguely remember.
I think they claim they proved that you cannot have that, the chiral.
So what does chiral and gapless mean?
Gap.
No, but I thought the chiral implies gap, though.
Right? I think the story might have been that they found a tensor network state representation of a chiral ground state, but the parent Hamiltonian turns out to be gapless.
Yeah, no. So what's the definition for chiral there? What's the definition for chiral
state? Well, it's just it's a property of the ground state. I guess it looks like the ground state of a. Well, actually, I don't know.
My understanding for chiral is that you can, like, for example, the chiral central chiral equals to something, or like you're talking about a ground state of a bulk system, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about bulk system, how do I define chiral at all?
Well, why can't you just look at the edge?
Well, but about in gapless, right? I mean, for gapless, it's like, I can't imagine
how
to define edge.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Now, let's look at the entanglement spectrum, but I don't know what it is.
There are some work based on like exact model Hamiltonian by Hong Yao. They show that there is a non-Abelian Kaiser, gapless Kaiser state.
So what does chiral mean when it means gapless?
Maybe the non-range spin vector spin correlation.
Non-range?
Vector, Kaiser, like three spin correlation.
Oh, spin quadratic. So it means a spontaneous breaking of time interval symmetry.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, and also gapless.
Right.
Okay.
So, this one is all polytopic.
Right, so for numerics, we have tensor networks. Are there interesting questions beyond tensor networks? Are you doing numerics? Sorry, I'm just not a numerical person. Please feel free to chime in. I guess we might get more numerical people writing later.
Maybe the general question is, if I give you a Hamiltonian, how would you apply all the tensor network method to characterize these, even just understanding the trace time for reasonable?
Well, right.
Are you saying you want to solve any model, arbitrary model?
No, just within the, it can be identified.
But just from starting from the Hamiltonian?
Just starting from.
Seems like a hard.
For example, we just. It's a hard problem.
Yeah.
Heisenberg model.
So the DMRG is within tensor network.
Maybe I'll just write DMRG as its own separate category. It's progress in DMRG.
So over there, you can find the solution of Mises' Kaufman model, but limited to where the one line, right. Nor dimension. Yeah.
Yeah. and then you can do ladders and these kinds of things. Yeah. Okay. Let me fill out the rest of this. So as far as connections to high energy and particle physics, I mean, there's this duality story that we're going to have a talk on later this week. I guess, you know, another general question is, I mean, we already touched on the role of gravitational anomaly. In short range entangled states. So as was already mentioned, something like the integer quantum Hall effect, you're gonna have an edge which has this gravitational anomaly, thereby sort of protecting that phase, even with D1 symmetry breaking. So actually, you suggested this. So what's you mean going beyond one two dimensions?
Right. So what's the one general relation between gravitational anomaly and all the states beyond cohomology, right? So we know that they all have something to do with the gravitational anomaly, but I don't know whether we have understood the gravitational anomaly completely or not. So
I see. So just can you make some kind of
mixed anomaly between like U1 and gravitational
anomaly. I see. So tie together the anomaly story and the short range entangled state story.
Okay. Anomaly is also high energy physics topic though, but it's related to the ISPT story.
Right. Okay.
So on the numerical method, I just want to throw out one thing that's I guess Roger Melk was coming sometime later, am I right?
To our program or to SynthQuant?
He's coming to the synthetic.
Okay.
Oh, is he coming to the synthetic? I see.
But, you know, that's the same
thing. Well, there's one of the parallel, which, you know, I don't know how. Anyway, that's not what I was going to bring up.
I don't necessarily want to make a list of all.
What I was going to bring up, just in case there are people in the audience, people in the room who is interested. So there were a couple papers that Roger was co-author and then Simon Kraft was also co-author on, where there are ideas of trying to use the machine learning or this deep learning to, you know, solve physics problems. And I'm kind of interested in, I don't know much about machine learning, but I've got some ideas and I'm really interested in, you know, that exploring that idea.
Right.
So, you know, what the limits are, what can it be done. So if anybody is interested, I would love to talk to them. Whether it should be on the board, should it be that glorified, I don't know.
Simon will give a talk on this tomorrow at Q.
Okay. Simon Kraft?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. He's here this week. Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Not sure what time, but it's after lunch sometime.
It overlaps with our usual slot. I think it's
1:30-ish or something like
1:30-ish.
That.
1:30-ish. It should be on the Station Q website. Just Google.
Okay, overlaps and conflicts. So overlaps and.
It overlaps, hence we're not having a talk tomorrow.
There's no talk tomorrow.
No, we were just having a talk Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, this is the list I had. So, I guess if nobody else wants to add. We do have to find a topic for discussion this Friday. So there's several options. So Max Midlitsky will be speaking about dualities on Thursday, and Ian Chong Long are both here. So it would be natural to sort of have a dualities discussion. But Ashwin Vishwana is only here next week, so we're actually thinking of doing that next Friday, discussion on dualities. But if anybody has ideas about anything they want to do this Friday, just come talk to me, and we might arrange a discussion. If there's nothing, then we're not going to force it. We're not going to have one. But if you have some
specific... Mason is talking about symmetry enriched phases.
That's right.
Is there some other expert here?
probably.
Sorry?
I mean, so you're proposing symmetry enriched.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the other quite natural thing, and it sounds very interesting. It's an open problem, I think.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
Okay, yeah, maybe we'll try to get someone who. I don't want to make Mason lead that, because he's already giving a talk. Who can we have?
We can ask him.
The discussion, yeah, okay.
Well, we can decide. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe is Meng around? Is Meng around? Meng Chang?
No, he's not around right now. He just moved.
Okay.
Yeah, we can see how his talk goes, and we can decide after this.
Okay. All right, okay, sounds good. Okay, I think that's it.
Are you going to put this on the wiki or something? Is this John keeping track of discussion topics?
Take a photo of it.
Yeah, I'll take a photo and I'll send
you
a little
bit. Somebody you have on your channel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Thanks for coming. Talk to me if you want to suggest anything more for this Friday. And see you soon.